Sabbath blessings, everyone. If you can kneel, let's start with prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you for being with us as we gather here on Sabbath day to await the changing of the showbread. Thank you for blessing us with wisdom and understanding and eyes that see and ears that hear, and even tongues that proclaim the truth. Thank you for blessing us with an understanding that makes it easier for us to explain unto those you send our way. Thank you for blessing everyone on the prayer list, especially those we mentioned last night. And thank you for the way you answered prayers. Sometimes they take a little while, sometimes they get answered pretty quick. And we thank you for however you decide to do it, because we know nothing but love is behind the reasons you do the things you do for us. You have loved us first, and thank you for teaching us how to love you, because it allows us to love others as well, even those that come against us, which we uplift often, daily. And so thank you for blessing them and all those souls that are on our prayer list that are lost, that have not yet embraced your Son as Savior. And give us many opportunities to share our faith with them too. Please bridle my tongue and any tongue that speaks today. And thank you for blessing us with your word that helps us find our way home and keeps the path well lit on our journey. And we offer this prayer unto you in the name of your Son, who is our Savior and King, the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen and amen. And hold on a second here. Okay. All right. Doesn't seem like we got any new people in here yet today. And I see the chat room still doing that strange thing where the little emoticons are showing up on the top of the sentence of the previous, of the person. Like for example, Sister Jeanette put amen and happy Sabbath to all right there. The little waving guy is over the top of the word all. I think that's pretty neat. I like it better that way, but I know it's a fluke. There's something weird going on. See, look at that. I don't know. I did a reboot yesterday. I didn't do a flash update, though. I don't know. It looks neat.
I was trying to figure out, I thought you were seeing things again.
Yeah, I'm telling. Okay. There you go. Okay, so we're on question number 13. Yeah, I know not everybody sees it, Brother Mel. Not everybody's going to see it. And I didn't even know what happened. Some people in the church last night were telling me that, oh, yeah, that happens every now and then for them. I'm thinking it's a flash thing. And so I rebooted the system yesterday, but I forgot to check to see if my flash is up to date. So that's probably all that's happening, because this, you know, site is based on flash and Java, but Java doesn't cause problems like that. Anyway, we're on question number 13. And the question is, what two physical effects did Daniel report from his vision? And Daniel chapter 10, verse 17 says, thank you, Brother Garin. It says, for how can the servant of this my Lord talk with this my Lord? For as for me, straightway there remain no strength in me, neither is there breath left in me. You know, in other words, he collapsed with no strength to even stand and without the ability to actually breathe. And I always thought that was pretty neat when I think about that. The only way I can explain why that happens is because he that gives the breath of life is in the room with you at that point. So do you really even need to breathe? So, but it doesn't mean he was choking and about to die of a lack of oxygen or anything. And, you know, so it means we don't have any need to breathe, I would assume. I mean, I can't find any Bible scriptures to back that up other than the fact of, you know, recollection of what Daniel, you know, witnessed. And others have witnessed, you know, the pioneers of the SDA church and stuff like that. When there were, like, for example, when Sister White had a vision one time. She was speaking and everybody could hear her fine. And they put a candle in front of her mouth and it wasn't moving. There was no breath coming out of her when she was speaking. How the Lord did that is amazing. And then a mirror, too, to see if there was any breath, and there wasn't. But as for the collapsing, back in Daniel 8, verse 18, it says, "Now, as he was speaking with me, I was in a deep sleep on my face toward the ground, but he touched me and set me upright." So, yes, Daniel is about to be strengthened, as he was in Daniel, in this verse. And then 10:18 says, the very next verse, Daniel 10:18 says, "Then there came again and touched me one like the appearance of a man, and he strengthened me." But I want to point out is how literally hopeless Daniel was when in vision. He not only collapsed and stopped breathing, his face was to the ground, suggesting he didn't even have the ability to move his face before he, you know, as we say today, face planted the floor. You know, he just, boom, he went down. And so, but the study goes on to outline all of what Daniel experienced while he was in visions. Let's see, it goes from A to I. So I guess there's, I don't know how many, let's see. I don't know. I'd have to count them. But anyway, Daniel alone saw the vision. The men with him did not see it, but were afraid. Oh, wait a second. That reminds me of Paul. Maybe that was... is that in the notes? Okay. Yeah. Okay. And then he lost all strength. He lost consciousness, then heard a voice. A hand touched him, which set him on his hands and knees. He was able to get up, but not all the way yet. And then he then arose to his feet. He became dumb, which means he couldn't speak. Remember John the Baptist's father, Zacharias? His lips were touched. He was then able to speak. There was no breath in him, and he was given strength. Now, when I think about this and all these evidences, and this is one of the reasons I did the page on my website about the signs of a true prophet, and then, of course, the signs of a false prophet. Because there's a lot of people out there claiming to be prophets. As a matter of fact, I was talking about one last night, if I recall, where this one guy was declaring to everybody that the Father told him years ago, and he mentions this after a video that I put up. Okay, in the video, I can't remember. Oh, yeah, it was the one video about what is the matter with you Christians? You know, the most recent one I put up. And I'm talking, of course, to the lukewarm ones. And so he chimed in by saying, yeah, the Lord showed him this 2 years ago, right? And, well, that's all well and good, but as far as I know, the Lord told us this 6,000 years ago, well, or 2,000 years ago, if you want to just use New Testament theology. And that was my point. He was standing there as if he was a prophet. But then when I asked him, are you a prophet? And he goes, no, I'm just a watchman, but I do know some prophets. And so I started asking questions. And this is what you have to do. You got to try every spirit. Because, first of all, the major red flag in this whole situation was he was saying something that, as Christians that read Bibles, that is, we already know all this stuff that he was saying. You know, like people are saying, you know, they claim to be a prophet, and they'll stand up and say, Jesus Christ is coming soon. And they're going to say, they prophesy Jesus Christ is coming soon. It says, yeah, well, Daniel said that too. So did Isaiah. I think Moses had something to say about that as well. I mean, it's from cover to cover. And yet they act like it's the first time anybody's hearing it. And it says, why would the Lord have to repeat something like that? It's like that tongues thing. And I think I mentioned that today, or maybe in one of the studies as we get. Yeah, I think it's in the notes of one of my other studies in regards to how the Bible says the tongues, the speaking in tongues is for non-believers. The prophesying is for the believers. Literally, Paul says that. I think it's Peter, one of the two. I get those two guys mixed up. But the fact of the matter is, with the Pentecostals, you walk in there, and they're all prophesying, let's say. Okay, that's all well and good if everybody there is a believer. But none of them are. They're all Catholic now, as of 2 years ago, according to Kenneth Copeland and the Pope. They all declared themselves Catholics, at least all their pastors they have. All right? And the other toss is they're all speaking in tongues together. And yet they call themselves believers. And it's pretty clear in the scriptures that the tongues is what brought those people to their knees and to repentance on Pentecost. So yeah, it was Peter. That's right. Because they were speaking in the languages of all the people that were in there city at that time. And God made it a point to get everybody in there with a different dialect so that they would hear all the different languages coming from these Jewish men who only spoke one language. That's tongues. And that was to, you know, it was an amazing thing. It was a miracle. It allowed those people to stand up and take notice. And, of course, 3,000 souls became Christians that day. But you walk into a Pentecostal church, they're all doing it. But then again, that's a whole other story. But the thing here is, this guy last night, you know, or not last night, but a few days ago, he hasn't even answered my last question in regards to, okay, if these men are prophets that you follow, what do they say of God's law? Because the prophets will edify the Lord, right? And glorify him. And magnify his law like Jesus was prophesied to do. He came to magnify it, to make it a little bit, you know, magnify. You take a magnifying glass, you get a closer look at it, right? Yeah, he made it a little bit clearer to understand. And then, of course, that's when our little conversation ended, because he wouldn't respond to that. Because he can't, because he knows his so-called prophets are Sunday keepers. Because if he was going to answer it, and if he said they were Sabbath keepers, I says, okay, what happens when they go in vision? Because, like I said, I got a page on the website about true prophets and false prophets. And you're not going to have all these things happen at the same time. I mean, some major event like this, talking about all the kingdoms of the world until, you know, the last one where that little stone comes and hits the 10 toes. And the 10 toes are wiggling right now. I mean, it's already on paper. The 10 toes are already on paper that we saw in the dream of the king in Daniel's day, chapter 2. So that's already, that's now. That stone hitting those toes, yeah, that's the eastern sky splitting. And so that's all happening now. And so something to that extent, well, yeah, all these things are going to happen during vision, because you can have a vision on your bed at night and not go through all this, you know, have to deal with all this, which is not something bad to deal with. It's amazing, especially with realizing you're not breathing and yet you're not choking, you're not starving for air and stuff like that. So praise his mighty name. All right, let's just go right into the question number 14 then, which is, when the prophet Balaam heard the words of God and saw the vision of the Almighty, how was his physical condition described? And Numbers 24, verse 4, says, he hath said, which heard the words of God, which saw the vision of Almighty, of the Almighty, falling into a trance, but having his eyes open. So yeah, that's one of the other keys that I have on the true prophet or true vision. Like when you have an absolute, your eyes, you know, even though you're in a trance, your eyes are wide open. And then the study goes on to say that although never a conclusive test of divine inspiration, supernatural phenomena accompanying a vision to lend credibility to a prophet's message, but because Satan can counterfeit such signs, we cannot base our confidence in the prophet solely upon physical manifestations, which is, yeah, that's obvious. We can't be doing that, because anybody could fake this stuff. I mean, look what they're doing with tongues. And that's one of the easiest things to fake, because no one can really prove them wrong. Because they keep saying it's a heavenly language. You know, but tongues is such that if someone in the church family speaks only Italian, for example, and everybody else speaks German, German or any other language, whoever is speaking the native tongue of the congregation will begin to speak in Italian, because that man, even though everybody else will hear him in their native tongue. But anyway, the study finishes by saying, physical signs are not always present when a prophet receives a revelation. God has often spoke to his prophets in dreams while they were sleeping. So that's what I said earlier, so I just should have just kept reading. So in other words, you're not always going to have every key that defines someone to be a prophet each time they prophesy. You might have one or two. You might have them all, like Daniel with that major prophetic event that spoke of every kingdom that would be on earth until the end. So I would imagine a lot of, you know, importance was laid upon what he was about to be given. So it is here where Bible study and watching the fruits of such a person can help, you know, those of us looking on to understand whether or not they are to be trusted. As I stated earlier, I have a page on the site that lists all the keys of the prophet, but never do I claim all the keys must be associated with every prophetic utterance, because the Bible doesn't say that. And many of the signs just have to do with the fruits of the person that prophesies. If you have time, check it out. It's for those listening on the radio and on the phone, remnantofgod.org/trueprophets.htm. It's all one word, trueprophets.htm. I list 16 of the key signs of a true prophet when the scripture, with the scriptures, of course, to back them all up. And to summarize them, whatever the prophet prophesies will come to fruition. And one of the reasons the Lord insists on this is because of what he knew, because our Lord knows the end from the beginning. This is why he put the word remember in commandment number 4, prophetic statement saying that, hey, you guys are going to forget about keeping the seventh day. You're going to start keeping the first. But one of the favored tricks of Satan is what we see in Catholicism. The Vatican has been doing this for eons. Well, at least 1.5 eons. They haven't really been here 2,000 years. They lie even there. But the what they did in 1917 let the cat literally out of the bag on this one. And they've done it. There's some ancient text and stuff like that of them doing this before. And psychics even do this. It's just an old technique. And what I'm talking about is like this so-called Mary that called herself Mary. First she says she was Our Lady of the Rosary or Your Lady or the Blessed Virgin. And then finally she did blurt it out when Satan knew enough people were falling for his fall or all. Then he literally said, well, look, I've got thousands now, so I may as well just say, yeah, I'm Mary, you know, the mother of Jesus. And so what that demon said in regards to certain prophetic events that were going to happen in the future weren't biblical prophecies. They were Vatican agendas, but not Vatican-contrived agendas. They were Vatican agendas contrived by Satan, that he wanted to get certain things done. But because Satan doesn't know the prophecies 100%, but he can guess a lot better than any man can, he also knew he had to do certain things and wanted certain things to get done. And so he would always say, well, this is going to happen or that's going to happen, you know, through this so-called woman standing in a grotto floating on some bush in Fatima. And this is why, well, we'll get into that later in the sermon, the reason why they, like Muslims use the name Fatima too for their little girls. But the demon said, this is going to happen if you don't repent or if you don't pray. So let's just say Satan needs to have something like, I think it has something to do with Russia, where they'll spread their errors across the world. And if, and unless the Catholic people pray, Russia is not going to be able to continue, let's say. Which to this day they're still doing it, but they did collapse in the 80s, thanks to Reagan and John Paul too, because Satan knew he had to get that done. But there were also many other prophecies that were dated in regard, like with Nostradamus and all the other ones, that literally never did happen. But everybody seems to ignore those. But my point is, the demon would say that this is going to happen. But if you pray, maybe I'll be able to, in other words, pray to me, you know, pray to Mary. I will see if I can gain audience of the Father through my Son. And then if the event that I'm prophesying doesn't come to fruition, it's because your prayers were answered. Now, isn't that crafty? In other words, I don't really know if this is going to happen or not. I'm really hoping it does. And so I'm going to say it and blurt it and put it out there. But if it doesn't happen, it's because you guys prayed. And that's why the Lord, one of the main keys of being a true prophet is when they speak for the Lord, it's going to happen. And this is one of the, and somebody actually sent me an email this morning or last night in regards to 666man.net. This guy came into our church service back in, we were on Fire Talk days. Sister Mary probably remembers this guy because he came in, his name was Ron Johnston, and he came in there and he started pulling people out and talking about this and talking about that and whatever. Within a week or two, everybody came back. They realized there was a problem. He was declaring the next pope was going to be Pope, say Pope Joe I, whatever. But instead, the next pope was Pope Benedict 16, because he says if you add up all the popes from the time of the wound beginning its healing in 1929 when, Gaspari and Mussolini signed that pact, he says if you count forward and you count all their numbers, like John Paul II, you just add two, right? So after him, because when you add the two, it came out to 665. So the next pope has to be a number one. And so Benedict came, and he says, well, he's got to pick a name that's going to have a one at the end of it, but oops. It was a 16, so he was way off. And so he pulled the page, he deleted it. But the Holy Spirit told me months prior, copy it, put it on my site. It is on my site, still to this day. As a matter of fact, that I just shared it with the guy that emailed me, asking me about it. It's remnantofgod.org/666man.htm. And his original page is on there where he proclaims a false prophecy. But now he's telling everybody, and he changed it, just like what they did at World's Last Chance. They got caught. I copied their page, too. He's declared that the next pope was going to be like this, and the next, and then the pope was going to resurrect John Paul II, and he was going to be the Antichrist. And then Francis was elected, and everything was messed up again. So they deleted the page, but not before I copied it and put it on my site. Because these guys are dangerous. They pulled people off, and you got to let them know. So look, whatever the prophet prophesies must come to fruition. We know World's Last Chance is a false prophet now, and we know Ron Johnson's a false prophet now. As a matter of fact, I just happened to come across the Johnson stuff. He's not, you know that one prophecy about where it says the beast that was is not yet is? He's declaring that's Benedict. Even though we know it means from 538 to 1798, the beast that was, is not is from 1798 to 1929, and then yet is from 1929 to today. But he's saying it's Benedict now in a new video. So this is what happened. It's just like what you saw happen with World's Last Chance. Once they decide to disobey and continue on hiding their lies, the Lord's going to step back completely and Satan has control. And this is why they preach, you know, the Sabbath changes every week to the or every month because of the lunar cycle, or Jesus isn't God or the Holy Spirit doesn't exist. So that's one of the major keys. An easy one, in fact. And this is why, like in the Pentecostal church itself and other ones that claim they have all these gifts of the Holy Spirit, you don't see them prophesying a lot, because that's not an easy one to fake. Because if they're wrong, they're found out. But yet guys like Hal Lindsey, Benny Hinn, Pat Robertson, these guys just prophesy left and right and keep and put it in writing, no less. And they don't come true and they're proven false, but they still keep making money. Because it's just like what the prophecy said. Preach on with smooth things. That's what they want. So the next key was the prophet will be one that has visions and dreams. Okay? Or one of the two. You know, it'll have visions and dreams. And number three, when in vision, the eyes of the prophet will remain open. So not easy to do when you're having a dream, right? You're sleeping. Number four, in vision, the prophet will have no need to breathe. And we explained why earlier. Number five, quite often a prophet will collapse with no strength when a vision starts. Because once... And that, you know, the first time you meet the Lord sometimes too, and it's not, I'm not talking about the Kundalini experience that you see in all these false churches where they put their hand on your forehead and make you fall, and if you don't, they give you a shove. No, that's different. That's different. That's just demonic. Sometimes you literally will collapse. And number six, if touched in the vision by the angel, the prophet will receive supernatural strength, and we do have modern day documented evidence in that regard in the pioneers of the SDA church. One of them. We all know who she is. All right. Let's see. Number seven, a prophet will be 100% accurate doctrinally and, of course, prophetically. In other words, new light never contradicts old light. And there's nothing wrong with new light, because New Testament, all the New Testament really does is kind of clarify the old. And so, as a matter of fact, Jesus and the apostles, that's all they used was the Old Testament when they preached. We're just blessed with having their explanations right there in what we call the New Testament. And so there's nothing wrong with new light, but it has to back up old light. We're not Muslims, because their Quran is designed in such a way, well, if something is stated in an earlier, like a later version, like in our day, that contradicts something from an older version, the newer version, or the most recent, is more valid because it supersedes the old. In other words, we messed up, but let's just make a doctrine in Islam stating that the old stuff is no longer valid when the new stuff comes. No, that's not how the Bible works. That's how the Quran works, or Quran or whatever. The prophet never gives personal opinion. Scripture always defines the prophetic symbols. So we can't, and that happened a lot. But still to this day, I'll come across people that'll say, well, the Holy Spirit told me this, and these were the symbols you get. Well, I'm sorry, that the Bible doesn't say that's what that symbol means. The prophet will only seek to glorify the Lord and not self. And this is why, if you are given the gift of prophecy, you don't stand up and before the people and say, hey, guess what, everybody, I'm a prophet. I mean, there's people out there that literally that's on their business cards. They call themselves prophets. So they're seeking glory for self instead of glory for the Lord. The prophet will look to edify, comfort, uplift, and even exhort the church body. The prophet will be one that not only keeps God's law. This is why I asked that guy, what does he speak? What are these guys, prophets, that you embrace? What do they say about God's law? So they'll keep God's law, so he or she will teach others to do so as well. And yes, women can be prophets or prophetess. The prophet will teach and preach the incarnation of Jesus Christ as a fact. The prophet will have many good fruits following his or her work. The prophet can be a man or a woman. Of course, that was number 14. 15 is the prophet can be young or old. There's no age limits there. And then finally, number 16, performing miracles proves nothing because Satan himself does that. And so prophets may be involved in some miraculous events, but that doesn't prove anything. The main thing is Isaiah 8:20. To the law and the testimony, they speak not according to this word, it's because there's no light in them. So that's where you have to hang your hat. And so I also have a page on the website that shows, you know, like if someone's a false prophet, it's located at, if you're listening online, like on the radio or on the phone, it's remedygod.org/falseprophets.htm. It's falseprophets.htm, all one word, at the end of remedygod.org with a forward slash. And so the easiest way to summarize a false prophet is that they will not always be 100% correct. They will not be able to define prophetic symbols using scripture. They'll use opinion. They will not keep God's law. And some of them will. You know, there's some out like that. Or what is that one guy's name that did a lot of these? He's ex-SDA. Well, he still says he's SDA. His name was Ernie, I think. Guys, I don't remember his name. Pastor Craig did a video about him and showed how his dreams didn't match with that which is written. Oh, man, I can't remember his name. But anyway, he's got a website and all this, and all of his dreams are on the website. And Ernie Knowles. Thank you, Daniel. Yeah, that's the guy. Ernie Knowles. Yeah. But so he keeps the Sabbath, but he's got issues in certain areas. And some of these false prophets will even go so far as to teach others to break God's law every Sunday, you know, by going to church on that day. And so suffice it to say, like I said earlier, Isaiah 8:20 covers the basic crux on how to define a false prophet or define a true prophet. Because, you know, if they can't be backed up with that which is written, well, then you leave. So if the one claiming to be a prophet fails prophetically and doctrinally, you know to steer clear of them. It's just that simple. And so, hope and pray you were blessed. I'll be back in a minute.